And so I'd like to encourage you, my friends, from the scriptures today, and trust it will be a blessing to you, and that the Holy Spirit of God will bless and move in our midst. The title of this morning's message, this spiritual body, praise God for that spiritual body, that's the spiritual body of the church. But we'll find our main text in Ephesians chapter 3. And so Ephesians chapter 3, my friends, and in verse number 1, we'll start there. Ephesians chapter 3, and of course from the Word of God, of course from the Apostle Paul, God's man for the hour. But Ephesians chapter 3, and just to put it in context here, Paul is so excited to share this phenomenal truth with the believers at Ephesus. They were saved, they were Christians, but he was so excited to share with them this truth, a trust that we would be as well to receive this truth from God today. But Ephesians chapter 3, let's go to verse 1, and we read to verse 5, and then we'll ask God's blessing on the message. And the Word of God says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Hereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which was in other ages was which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." And here's the truth, and here's the mystery in verse 6. "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Let us pray. Abba, Father. What a joy and a comfort, Lord, to be in thy house. And what a joy to know that we have your precious, eternal, inerrant, infallible word, the promise of God, Lord. And so, Father, we take comfort in your truth, your absolute truth and nothing but the truth, Father, that you are merciful, that you love us, that you send Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, to save us from our sins, Father, for all that believe in him. And so, Father, we ask even now that you anoint these lips of clay, that I would say, Father, what you would have me to say. Hide me behind a cross and stir and build and nourish our hearts from thy holy word as only you can, Father. And Father, we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ be given the preeminence in all that is said and done. Thank you for this time that we have together. May we honor you in this assembly and please you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. And I do appreciate just the scriptures here. And this is tender. Of course, this is Paul speaking to the Ephesians. Of course, by extension in God's word, God speaking to you and I. I can, in my mind, just because of what's happening today, I can think of my father-in-law, you know, kind of just really expressing this to me personally. May God speak to you personally today in the same intensity as Paul desires to be speaking to the Ephesians, okay? And just to put it into context here, Paul is, of course, his writing to the Ephesians. He had previously, not too long before this writing, bid farewell to them. If you we don't have time to go back there, but in the book of Acts, chapter 20, you know, when Paul was traveling by ship and he had they had a layover in Miletus. That was where he sent for the elders of the church in Ephesus to meet with him, and they came about 50 miles worth, and so that's not a short journey. And so they came to see Paul there in Miletus, and then of course it's recorded for us in Acts chapter 20, where he tells him, "Hey, I'm going to Jerusalem," and say, "Oh, no, don't go, no, I gotta go," you know. And then after that, who knows what's going to happen? They know there's going to be hardships and persecution that follows Paul, and they couldn't persuade him not to go. Remember that account in Acts 20. And so they all prayed together. And then, remember a key verse from that, Paul is reminding them to stay vigilant. There's going to be wolves that come in. The flock is going to be attacked. But Paul says, "I'm ready to go. I got nothing to hide. I'm free from the blood of all men." And then he says in verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And so they had a very heart-touching moment, farewell hug, you know, with Paul. They bid him farewell and off he went. And then sometime later, shortly he gets, you know, in his ministry, he gets in prison. Sure enough, he ends up in Rome, in prison, and then he writes to the Ephesians here. Okay, so this is after he had said farewell to them in person. He writes to them. He's still doing God's will. And here is, sure enough, in verse 1, when the Ephesians get this. And again, if you go down to verse 4 with me, just to put the context here, Paul intended for the Ephesians to read this letter out loud among the congregation, but to share it among the brethren, because he says in verse 4, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, the idea that Paul wants them to read it out loud to each other. Here we are doing it today in church here. And so in verse 1, he writes to them, and very personally, and Paul is telling them something that he knows. He knows this truth. He lives this truth. He loves this truth, but he wants them to get it. Okay, so verse 1, this Paul says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. And so he knows something that is so profound that he's willing to suffer to get this truth out. Even though it's a, you know, it's a hardship to him, even though it's persecution, even though he's being imprisoned. I mean, these are not things that we would sign up for, okay? But the idea is it's twofold. It's because of what the truth is, but it's also because who told him this truth, okay? So 1-2 here, 1-2 punch here. Because of what the truth is, it's a big deal. Paul is willing to suffer for it, but it's also because who told him this truth. Paul is more than happy to do it with his life unto his death, okay? And so he says, I'm a prisoner. So he's doing this. He literally is in prison when he writes this. The idea is he's in prison at Rome, writing this letter to his church there in Ephesus. And so he knows that he's literally suffering for the cause of Christ, but he's free on the inside, right? And so, but he's telling them, it's okay. I'm in jail. I'm in prison for Jesus Christ, meaning I'm serving the Lord. This is where it ends up for me in serving him. For you Gentiles. And so the calling that God has for him is to be a minister, an apostle, a proclaimer of truth, not so much to the Jewish people. And Paul is Jewish. And so his heart is for his kinsmen. He wants them to be saved as well. But he's been called of God to be the apostle, minister to the Gentiles. That would be non-Jewish people. Okay, so if you're not Jewish, you're Gentile. Okay, whether doesn't matter who as far as your ancestry goes, this is what he's speaking to here. And he's speaking to the Ephesians, mostly Gentile congregation there at Ephesus. So he's writing to them. And so this truth, it's so profound, it's so life-changing that Paul is willing to suffer and die to get this truth out. Okay, what's the deal? And so Paul goes to verse 2, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. Not just the grace that he's called to serve, but the grace that Paul is even saved to begin with. And what Paul is saying here, this dispensation, meaning God has dispersed to him, God has divvied out to him this truth, this grace, this message that God does not want him to hoard. Again, the application to you and I. If you're saved by the grace of God, my friends, God does not want you to hoard that gospel truth. He saved you to not just keep it as a personal luxury that you will add to your own personal collection, but he gave you the gospel to save your soul so that we can share with others. Okay, so this is what Paul is doing. So they've heard it. They've heard it from Paul. The grace of God, which is given me, not just to keep, but to you, and to give to the Gentiles. Verse 3, how that by revelation, this is God through Jesus Christ, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. This is huge, because Paul is, Paul is a sinner like anyone else. He'd be the first to confess he's the chief of sinners. But Paul is also a apostle, meaning one that was not just sent directly by God through Jesus Christ, but one that was also taught by Jesus Christ. Okay, so this is very specific. All of us, you know, we read God's word, hallelujah. The idea is, and we can be disciples of Jesus Christ, but we are not apostles of Jesus Christ. Paul was, because he was not taught by man. He was taught directly in person by Jesus Christ, like the other 12. Okay, that's the whole context there. And so Paul is telling the Ephesians, this is a wonderful truth that the Lord revealed to me, and he wants me to tell you guys, okay? And so this is an exciting. So I hope we get excited as we build up here to what the punchline is, which I read in verse 6. But he was made known this mystery. Now, the mystery is not like a murder mystery that we would think today. Mystery would be a truth that God has always known, okay? It never occurred to God because he's eternal. He's always known this truth, but he has hid it from man until this time. The idea that God has he might have declared it in his word, but it was not put forth and proclaimed in the way that God is doing it now, according to his timing. So that's what mystery, when the scripture refers to a mystery, it is a truth that God has always known, but in his timing, he kept hidden until now he's revealing it, okay? And so this is what Paul is saying, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which he's going to expound. It's by revelation from God. It's not through rationalization. It's not through observation. It's not by human reasoning. This is by divine revelation. And only by divine revelation that God is telling Jesus, the Lord is telling Paul, here's the plan. Here's what's going on. And this is such an amazing truth. May it bless us our entire life, okay? And so verse 4, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. That Paul gets it. Paul knows it. This is the truth that God told him. Jesus told him. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known. And so God has always known it, but in every other dispensation, you look through all the Old Testament, you know, God has always known it, but it hasn't really been showcased, okay? Was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Again, through revelation of God. And so what's this awesome truth, Paul? Don't keep me chomping at the bit here. What's this truth? Well, verse 6, and point number 1, verse 6, there is a spiritual body. Look at this in verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. That is a wonderful, wonderful word, fellow heirs. This is compared to the Jewish believers, okay? So the Gentile, not just Gentile whatever, but Gentile believers, just specifically Gentile Christians, should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That is a phenomenal truth that as a Christian, if you're a believer, it doesn't matter if you're a Gentile, you're not a second-class follower of God. You're not a second-rate child of God. You're not like a adopted or stepchild. You're a bona fide true child of God. As close to God as the Jewish believer would be. In fact, but they both have to be believers. Okay, that's the context here. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. That there is one spiritual body, and Gentiles can be part of this. Okay, this is awesome. The same spiritual body, and so we are part of that same spiritual promise. God can be our Abba Father as he is the Father to the Jewish believer. We are God's children in every which way as much as the Jewish believer is. God is our King as much as he is every much the King to the Jewish believer. And we will reign with him forever. Okay, this is phenomenal, you know. And Paul kind of mentions this to the Corinthians. Just real quick, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. And so 1 Corinthians 12:12, I just want to share this verse that Paul kind of expounds in the same context to the believers at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 12:12. And the word of God here says, the Apostle Paul here says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13. For by one Spirit, and only one Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body. This is a spiritual baptism. This is not talking about a water baptism. This is about salvation and getting baptized spiritually when you are saved. We are all baptized, all believers, into one body. This is the same spiritual body that Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 3. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. This is the promise that God gives to all believers. It doesn't matter if we're Jew or Gentile, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is the emphasis of the book of Romans that Paul is writing. Don't get hung up on your ancestry, on your ethnicity, on your nationality, on your origin and your background or your creed or whatever. We're all sinners and come short of the glory of God. We all need to be saved. And when we are saved, Jew or Gentile, we are part of this one same spiritual body. And it is only through regeneration by believing in Jesus Christ. Okay, so let's go back to Ephesians 3. Let's go back to Ephesians 3. We're going to be in Ephesians 3 for a while. I just want to share that verse from Corinthians real quick. But Ephesians chapter 3, And so verse number 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, the same promise that the Jews have long just assumed. And even then, there's a stumbling block because it's not automatic. They still need to repent and trust Christ. Christ came unto his own, the Jewish people. His own received him not. And so that was sad, okay? But as many as received him, Jew or Gentile, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And that's a blessing that what Paul is talking about here. Fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. It is specifically by the gospel. And so don't miss this. Let's go to verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister, the one that would serve and proclaim this gospel, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Because of how exclusive this blessing is. Okay, verse 6. To be a fellow heir is a tremendous joy, a tremendous blessing. But the only way, if you look at verse 6, for a Gentile or a Jew, doesn't matter, but in this case, Gentiles, okay? But the only way for Gentiles, you and I, to be fellow heirs of this promise and to be a partaker of the blessings of the same body that the Jews have long assumed is how? By the what? The last word of verse 6. By the gospel. By the gospel. That is the only way that we Gentiles have access into this promise is by the gospel. So this is the promise of God by the gospel. Because the gospel is the only way, the only door, the only path that we can get saved. Paul was in verse 7, the minister of the gospel. So this is what it matters. The gospel that he preaches is gospel. Look at verse 8. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints. And he considers this himself because he persecuted the church of God. Okay. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles, if you get saved by believing the gospel, the what? Unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable meaning limitless or unlimited. That means you can keep counting it. You count forever. Okay, unsearchable meaning you can never truly catalog or inventory it. It's forever. It's unlimited. Okay, what's so amazing is Paul has this infinite blessing that the Gentiles can be fellow heirs to what the Jews had long assumed. And the only way that Gentiles can receive this infinite, I can't even stretch my arms big enough. Okay, unsearchable, because just imagine infinite up, infinite down. This infinite blessing, the only way that us Gentiles, or is it we Gentiles, can receive this tremendous blessing out of this infinite scope is only through one way, the gospel. Don't miss this. Okay, this is it's kind of a juxtaposition. Verse 6 and 7 is speaking about this unlimited blessing. Verse 8, again, along with verse 6 and 7, is the only way to receive this is the narrow way, only through the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is huge. Okay, and so there's only one way, only one door, only one key, only one path that we can walk, the narrow path that leads us into infinite blessings. But it is very finite. In fact, it is only one way to get into this, and that's through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Make sense? So it's kind of a two-prong here. I mean, Paul is telling two truths. That the blessing is infinite. It's awesome. Unsearchable riches of Christ. That's awesome. But it's only one way to get in. Only one way to get in. If you get in, you get everything. But if you neglect the way, if you reject the way, you have nothing. You don't just get half of it. You get zero. But if you come in through Jesus, you get 100% of infinite. Make sense? Okay, so it's completely all or nothing. Okay, this is why it's such a big deal. So verse 9, this is what Paul's mission is, to tell people, tell believers. And so the idea is for a believer to get saved. I mean, yeah, you got to be saved, otherwise you're lost. But if you're saved, you get everything. It's infinite blessings, the infinite inheritance. It's all yours. And so it's mind-blowing what you get by being saved. But there's no in-between. You can't just say, oh, I'll just take half and not trust Jesus. No, if you reject Jesus, you get nothing. In fact, not only do you get no inheritance, you get punishment. Okay, so that's, and so verse 9, and to make all men see, Jew and Gentile, what is the fellowship of the mystery. So this is Paul's goal. This is his calling. This is his purpose. God called him to share the gospel. But to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. The fellowship of the mystery meaning, you know, how things fit in hand and glove, okay? Where we don't understand it now, but we understand it later. And this is how God has always worked with this promise here, but this is also how God works in our individual life. You know, things that happen, yeah, why did it happen? I have no idea why it happened then. I have no idea why this happened now. But then when we get to glory, we go, oh, that's why that happened. God had that, so I would do this, and then I'll get saved over here. Or God allowed this, so this happened, so I broke down my car here, and then I met this fellow, he led me to Christ, or whatever the case is. We don't know why things happen, but God does. And the fellowship of the mystery here is how things that we don't understand that God knows fall together in perfect harmony. Okay, so this is what Paul is saying here. This is his plan from what God has commissioned him to do, is to make known the fellowship of the mystery. Because Paul got it by revelation. So he wants to tell everyone else so that it can click with us too. Okay, that's what he's saying. Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. God knew it, but only now is revealing it. Who created all things by Jesus Christ. I mean, this Paul is telling them in real time. Again, in verse 4, Paul wants them to read this letter to everyone else. And so I can only hope as they're reading this, hey, we got a letter from Brother Paul, Apostle Paul, as he's reading this, I can hope they're on the edge of their seats, right? What is this truth? And so this fellowship of the mystery, when Paul expounds, God has always planned this, this is how he orchestrated this, this is how what happened in human history, so that this can happen, that Jesus Christ, yes, he was, he was arrested, he was cruelly mocked and punished and crucified, but that was all part of God's plan, the harmony of the fellowship of the mystery. God did not, Satan didn't one up God. This is what God has always intended. So that when we see how God has perfectly planned our salvation and even our lives, look at verse 10, to the intent that now, onto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. And so, with this gospel that the Gentiles can be fellow heirs with the Jews, even the angels, even the archangels, even the cherubim and the seraphim, even God's angels are going, whoa, that's awesome. Okay, this is so awesome that even the angels, that's the principalities and the powers in heavenly places. Okay, so these would be God's angels, might be known to them by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. And so that the church, meaning here the spiritual church, the spiritual body of Christ, when Jews and Gentiles are being saved and a part of that same spiritual body, when the angels and the principalities and powers in heavenly places, as they see this happen, they go, oh, wow. Michael, I didn't see that coming. No, Gabriel, I didn't see that coming. I mean, the manifold wisdom of God, it means the angels couldn't get it. But now they see it through the church. You and I, the believers, we are proof of God's manifold wisdom that he knew all along. Okay, and so we manifest God's wisdom by receiving his grace and mercy, by getting saved through Jesus Christ, because God has always planned the infinite blessings only through one Jesus Christ. And so look at verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This has always been the plan. Before Genesis 1:1, before the foundation of the world, we know this is what God has always desired. It's the salvation of mankind through Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean God wants us to sin. He doesn't want us to sin. But he knew we would sin. So he made provision to save us. Okay, praise God for that. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so because of this, because it's always been through the Lord Jesus Christ, here's our confidence in verse 12, friends. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And so today, now you fast forward to our present time, you and I, if we ever come to a crossroads where we don't know what the deal is, when we don't know what the game plan is, when we don't know why things are happening, when we don't know, when we fear, when we are hurting, when we are in pain, when we feel lost, when we feel like we are, just kind of wandering around, when in doubt, just trust the Lord. That's all we need to do. What Paul is saying here, this has always been God's plan since day one through Jesus Christ. Just trust him. Just trust him. Through him and him alone, you get unlimited blessings of salvation, okay? And without him, get nothing, okay? And so this pattern, it's like if I have to make a mystery meal and I don't know what I need to make to cook up, And the only ingredient I have, I'll open the pantry, and the only ingredient I have in there is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only ingredient I have. That's okay. In fact, that's all I do need. And that's all you need. We might not know what God is cooking in our life, but if all we have the ingredients is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's all we need. That's our confidence. I don't know, and say, hey, Wayne, what are you making there? I don't know. But it's okay. I have boldness, I have assurance, I have confidence, because it's faith in the Lord Jesus. I'm not trying to demean him. I'm just trying to use whatever cardinal example that we can wrap our mind around this truth in verse 12. Because what Paul is saying is, in whom is through Jesus Christ. Even though we don't know what will come in the future, in whom we have boldness. That means assuredance. You know, not pride, but assuredness. Okay, you're assured. And access with confidence by the faith of him. The faith of Jesus Christ, the faith in Jesus Christ. Always trust in the Lord. This mystery, God has always known, but didn't reveal it to his followers. But the followers didn't have to know it. If they just trust in God, that's how it's always worked. Just trust in God. Okay, this is so verse 13. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And so this mystery that Paul knows, because Paul knows his truth, he's willing to endure tribulations for others. Isn't that amazing? The truth never changes, but the truth will change us. Because Paul knows his truth, which was a mystery, now he got it by revelation, he knows it, he's willing to suffer for others. And if the Ephesians get this truth, the same way that Paul does, they won't faint either. Okay, this is huge. Because Paul is saying, hey, I got it, so I'm going no matter what. But if you understand the truth that I already know, you won't faint when I go through hardships. I mean, Paul's not fainting. He's good. But the Ephesians, if they don't get this, they're not going to be good. Okay, now, when they see Paul suffer, they're going to go, oh, man, poor Paul. But Paul is saying, it's not poor me. I'm a chief of sinners. I mean, I got everything. I mean, this is what Paul's not fainting. But he doesn't want the Ephesians to faint for him as he's suffering, because he understands this truth. He wants them to get it too. Make sense? Okay. Verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we truly understand this truth that Paul is sharing in chapter 3 here, when it truly clicks in us just how awesome God is, how amazing God is, how infinitely blessed we are because of salvation only through the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we understand what we have, when this truth clicks with us, as it hopefully with the Ephesians, it clicks with them as it does, has already with Paul, we can do nothing but worship God. We want to do nothing but praise God, okay? This is what Paul is saying, because Paul gets this. For this cause, I bow my knees. I mean, that's like, man, I'm so blessed. I mean, that's the whole, you know, I'm so blessed to be saved. I can only thank God. I can only praise God for it. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father, excuse me, of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And Paul understands now he sees things differently. He sees things spiritually. When we look through the lens of Scripture, my friends, when we walk in the Spirit, I don't look at people now like, oh, Packer fan, Viking fans. No, that's not how I look at them. I'm tempted to, okay? But when you look through the Scripture, all of a sudden now it's not just lost people, saved people. Now it's, oh, that's my brother. That's not my brother, because he's rejected Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, when we look now through Scripture in a spiritual lens, we see family of God or not family of God, or alienated from the family of God. The only way is through Jesus Christ. If you're part of God's family, a child of God, a child gets the inheritance from his father. It's an unlimited inheritance. That is what God gives us. When I see myself, no matter, I might be hurting, but I look at myself, and because of what God has done for me, all I can do is just fall to my knees and praise God for who he is, because he saved my soul. When I look at those that are struggling, are they saved? Are they not saved? That makes all the difference, okay? So that's the idea. The whole family in heaven and earth is named. And so this is speaking about the family of God. If you're saved, you're part of God's family. If you're not, you're not. Verse 16. And so this is his prayer for the Ephesians, as it is God's for you and I. that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. That's a lot of riches. Unlimited. To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. It is a spiritual victory, a spiritual growth, a spiritual triumph. Okay, this has nothing to do with physical or carnal. He's not talking about that you can bench press two. I mean, he's not talking about anything physical. Okay, this is speaking to in a spiritual triumph. Okay, to be strengthened spiritually by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell. That's John 15, to abide with Christ, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. I mean, he would live and reign in our lives, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, yes, that we are saved, we have an infinite blessing by salvation, God did everything, but the idea here is that God wants us to grow in our walk with God, grow closer to him, okay? Be more like Paul, okay? The Ephesians, yes, they were saved, and Paul is saying, hey, be more like me, okay? Don't faint in my tribulation for you, which is your glory, okay? And so he says here that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, so that you, Paul, basically Paul says, Ephesians, I want you to get it, please get it. This is God to you and I. Please get it, to comprehend this, to understand that it clicks with all saints, every Christian this applies to. Every Christian gets this blessing. May it click with us. What is the breadth and length and depth and height? This is speaking about God's love, okay, the different specs. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Do I truly understand how much God loves me? Oftentimes, I might probably say no. I think I do. Just take what I know, multiply by infinite. Okay? The idea is, I know God loves me, but I still don't know how much he loves me. Okay, that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, Ephesians, you and all the other saints, even those Christians in Northside, okay, to comprehend what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height. I mean, all this is every which angle, every which dimension. And we know that the love of God is what? It's unsearchable. So it's unlimited this way, times unlimited this way, times infinite this way, times forever this way. That's the amount of love that God has for you, Ephesians. This is the blessing that he has for you because you're a child of God, that you have the inheritance. This is what awaits you. Don't faint. Don't be overwhelmed by anything, because it doesn't even compare. Okay, so this is what Paul is saying. And to know the love of Christ, to really know it, to understand, oh, wow, that is amazing. Which passeth knowledge beyond human comprehending, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is amazing, because how can we be filled to the full by an infinite quantity? It's because when we are saved, we are born again a spiritual being. And so we have our spiritual self to be filled with the spiritual love of God, infinite into infinite. That's amazing. And by the way, this is just a glimpse of what infinite is. Even though our mind is fleshly and carnal, there is no limit to what you can know in your brain. Okay, think about it this way. There will never come a point, now I get it with disease and all that, I get that. Okay, but as far as how we live with our mind, there will not come a point in our life that our brain would be like my phone, you know, out of storage, okay, out of battery, where it's like, oh, I've reached my limit, I can't speak anymore, I can't listen anymore, I can't hear anymore, I got to delete something. The idea is my consciousness, your conscience, is infinite as far as with what we can receive. It doesn't end, okay? If that's a glimmer of how we are in the image of God, okay? So the idea is, the love of God that is infinite, which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Because of all this, again, same thing with verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees. When Paul understood this revelation, got this revelation, he can just praise God for it. When we understand it, we can only do the same. Look at verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. That's a triple positive, okay? Above, abundantly, exceeding. I mean, it's times, 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 okay? So God can do exceeding times, abundantly, times above. All that we ask or think. Whatever I can even think of, God can do infinitely before that, beyond that, according to the power that worketh in us. Don't have time for that, but the power is speaking about the power of the resurrection. The same power that rose Jesus Christ works in you and I as believers. Okay, verse 21, because of who God is in verse 20, because of what he does for you and I, verse 21, unto him be glory in the church, this is the spiritual body, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. When we understand this, all we can do is praise God. All we can do is just thank God. May this encourage us. Perhaps we feel like fainting sometimes, like, oh, what's the point? And Paul sees it. He knows the Ephesians. He's got a heart for them. Remember, he told them at back at Acts chapter 20 that he's going to go, and he could see. Paul was gung-ho to go, but his heart was, you know, I guess in a way he was, you know, bummed out that even the elders that he summoned all didn't want him to go. Like, oh, no. And Paul could clearly see their focus was on the now. But Paul wasn't living for the now. He was living for the forever. And so Paul writes to them like, guys, remember back when we were back in Miletus? And again, the idea is when it truly clicks just how awesome it is to be saved, we can't faint. When it truly clicks how awesome it is to be a child of God, all we can do is just praise God for it. Like, man, that's God, you're awesome. You're so awesome. And so may we do that every Sunday. We come here to assemble to praise God because we are truly, gloriously, wonderfully saved by the grace of God, only to Jesus Christ. But what do we have? It's infinite. Infinite plus forever plus infinity. I'm losing adjectives, okay? But I'm just saying this is how awesome it is to be saved. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Abba, Father, we thank you so much, Father, for the grace that you have to us only through Jesus Christ. But, Father, to understand this truth that we are fellow heirs, and, Father, even in my own mind, that just it limits the blessing that we have, that you reveal to us in Scripture, that you've given us all that we can ask or think, and even beyond that, exceeding abundant above that. Thank you, Father, for the calling of salvation, just the privilege of being a child of God. And we pray, Father, if there's anyone that is not saved, Father, please, we pray that today that they would choose to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, put their faith in him and him alone. The only way, the one way to get the infinite blessings of God. And Father, we ask that you bless now this invitation. May hearts be stirred, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed.